Hello, pals o' mine. First, I want to say a little rest in peace for Annette Funicello. I know in the global hierarchy of important people, she doesn't rate as high as Margaret Thatcher, but she's still important to our culture. She was part of a lot of childhoods. She represented the fresh-faced, sweet, kind child that maybe a lot of parents wish they had. Mickey Mouse, Beach Blanket, she was part of a lot of people's lives. I saw an interview years ago, and the interviewer was professing or confessing his crush on her that he'd had ever since he was a kid. And he inferred that she probably had to beat off dates with a stick. And she said, no, nobody ever asks me out. And he was stunned. She said that she had changed her phone number to an unlisted number just so she could pretend that that was why she wasn't getting any calls. Isn't that sad? Anyway, thank you, Annette, for being part of our lives, and I'm glad we have those TV shows and movies to visit you. So this is a few unusual things I saw while out driving this week. A jaguar that didn't look like a jaguar. In fact, it looked like every other damn car out there. Cookie cutter, Toyota, Hyundai, they all look the same. When you see a Mustang, you know it's a Mustang. So I want to know, what the hell? Was somebody too lazy to come up with a different model, different design? Somebody who's in their 20s who is ignorant of even what a Jag is? Anyway, annoyed me, obviously. So then I'm driving alongside this driver who thinks he's Hunter S. Thompson. He's wearing the hat and he's got the pipe. It's so funny. So you know those little letter magnets that kids have in the refrigerator when they're learning the letters of the alphabet or learning how to spell words? Well, I saw one on the back of this large Sears appliance truck. A capital N, light green, just stuck on there. I don't know if it was the driver's kid who put it on there or the child of a customer, but it was very cute. Made me smile. So I am still trying to find little things I can do to work off some of this weight that I've gained since I screwed my knee up. And I sit in front of the laptop a lot because I write. So I thought, what can I do to kind of break it up a little bit, to get the circulation going in the backside? I thought, yes, I could walk around the house once in a while, but I thought skipping would be fun. Just kind of skip a few laps. So I went online out of curiosity to see what benefits skipping would do as opposed to other type of exercises. And, of course, 99% of the hits were about jump rope skipping, but I am not interested in skipping rope. No interest. But I found one website, and it was promoting the skipping movement. That's right. There was a skipping movement in 1997, and it has this video of this guy skipping for exercise, skipping down city streets and shopping malls and stores, wearing boxing shorts, not boxers, boxing, you know, those shiny satin, it was odd, eccentric, shall we say. Anyway, I couldn't find anything that had been posted since 1997, so apparently it died as soon as it started. But it's, if you want a little distraction, their website is iskip.com. Now, I live in California currently, and one of the ongoing issues between the northern and southern part of the state is water access. Northern California has all the mountains. They have the snow runoff. It melts down. It fills their reservoirs. Southern California doesn't have that so much. So they'll have these periodic droughts. I I was living down there a couple times when they were experiencing droughts, and so this pipeline had been built and installed to connect the two halves of the state so those in the south could have access to water. Every once in a while, you know, you'll have these people will circulate a petition saying, you know, no more water for Southern California, let's secede, we should be two different states, and then it fortunately dies out, but it still rears its head periodically. And of course, there are individual landowners around the country that have riparian rights or are challenging them or trying to obtain them, whether they're farmers or, you know, fishermen, whatever the case may be. Well, take that water situation, that challenge, that dispute, and magnify it a million times, and you have the Middle East. Their water situation is approaching dire. The water levels in their lakes, rivers are lowering. They're lowering. But of course, it's the Middle East. So nobody wants to share with anyone. So whether they just want their enemies to die off from lack of water, or they're in denial, or they just don't give a shit, or they think that they're heading up to some nirvana for their particular faith belief system, it's craziness. So this year, the United Nations proclaimed it the Year of Water Cooperation. And to use their verbiage, challenges facing water management in light of the increase in demand for water access, allocation and services, water education, water diplomacy, transboundary water management. Blue Peace has come up with a few suggestions that might possibly work, you know, where nobody will lose faith, as it were, and everybody can, you know, benefit from water access. It's not Green Peace, it's Blue Peace. This organization focuses specifically on water. For the most part, it's ocean water, oceanic aspects, sea life, etc. So if you want to read about, and they do other really interesting things. So I suggest you check it out. It's BLUEPEACEMALDIVES.org. So, personal makeovers. I've noticed that I've been noticing the before picture. I see older folk, and I wonder, what did they look like when they were little? They were, say, 5 or 6 years old. You know, what was their journey? How did they get from that to this? And also somebody who's maybe their entire life has not been as healthy as it could be, or maybe something traumatic or dramatic happened in their life, and that's where they are now in a very unhealthy situation. And I just wonder, you know, was your home life like this when you were little, or did something happen that brought you to this place? Always looking at, wondering what the before picture was. The same with ball players. Professional ball players, these big, solid, rock-solid dudes, and then I wonder, what did you look like when you were in Little League? Like, what kind of a cute little boy were you? Okay, so I learned this week. Interesting to me. First, we had to deal with plaque in our arteries. Now, they're telling us that we can develop plaque in our brains. So for those of us with not as good as they could be eating habits, this is what I read. The Chicago Health and Aging Study reported that people consuming the most saturated fats more than tripled the risk of developing Alzheimer's. Trans fat increases Alzheimer's risk more than fivefold. Excess iron can spark production of damaging free radicals, and excessive copper ends up in the plaques of Alzheimer's patients. And aluminum has been found in the brain of Alzheimer's. So, food for thought. Sorry, have to do that. So the book I read this week was Five Fortunes by Beth Gutchen. And there's this one sentence that just cracked me up. There's this girl, she's a teenager, early 20s, I guess, and her parents divorce, and her dad, who's never a hands-on parent, now suddenly is completely focused on her. So she tells somebody, "Dad is hovering around, bringing me worms in his beak and stuff." I just love that. Like, how creative. What a creative writer. So speaking of books, I told you before, shared with you about the mini free library idea, where people can have them outside their homes or parks, or maybe build one in low-income areas. The idea being, there's so many books out there, they're just being tossed, and it's very, very sad. So you can have a little mini library, free for anybody coming by. They can just take them in as they want. They can drop off as many as they want. They have a blueprint, this website, that you can build instructions, that you can build your own if you like, or maybe you can convert an old kiosk or old phone booth, or you could just order one that's already built and pop that up and they tell you how to get on the post and all that. So I was thinking, one of my brothers is a co-founder of the Certified Organic Farm, and they have, of course, the booth at farmers markets, and they also have a permanent produce stand on the farm itself. And they have different events. They're educational and all that. And they promote heavily urban farms, farms within the city, that residents of neighborhoods can have their own patch in a particular block where they can grow their own food, you know, self-sustainability, healthy self-sustainability. Basically, they say grow your groceries. That's, you know, one of their mantras. So I had this idea that maybe at the farm, where they have, like I said, classes and workshops, they could have one of these free mini libraries. But all the books would be about gardening, you know, or cookbooks, where you can learn how to cook produce, the fruits and vegetables that you buy there or grow at your home. And then my brain kind of leapfrogged over to the farmers markets. Why not have a booth where it's just a couple of tables, but you have all these books stacked on? So there's a free mini library at the farmers market specifically for produce. You grab two or three books that are interest you, whether it's cookbooks or something that you want to grow and you don't know how. You use it, you're done with it, you bring it back so somebody else can use it. You find something else you could use for the next level. I mean, it's just a great, great idea. Even if I thought of it, it's still a great idea. Pass it on. Many people as you can think of who hang out or maybe go to farmers markets every week anyway. You know, it's a great volunteer idea, okay? Good way to volunteer for your community, or maybe the kids need to go out and earn a badge for scouts or something. Just a thought. Speaking of gardens, I love the ocean. I love spending time along the ocean. There's just something soothing about it. Hearing the waves crash on the shore just kind of massages me internally. And then you have the smells, of course, you know, the seaweed and the mist that comes off the water and the ice plant flowers and all the little plants that come up only certain times of the year. And it's just a very special place to spend time on for a retreat or just to give yourself a tune-up. And I came across this cute little poem. It was written in the early 1950s by E. McDermott Johnston, called The Sea Captain's Garden. Down sandy paths flow billows of bloom, shaded from silver to blue of the night, indigo iris and delphinium, a garden view for a captain's delight. Waves of lobelia brushing the wall, foamy chrysanthemums shaggily maned, recurrently ebb in breakers of air, sand dune verbena lovingly tamed, chalk petal daisies, fluid in wind, hyacinth blades reflecting the skies, a garden cool as ocean breath, an inland mirage for surf-hungry eyes. So there you go. Remember, do something different this week. Lulu, skip to my Lulu, skip to my Lulu.